5 realistic backdoor pilots I want to see in a Harry Potter TV show, and the blueprint for how they should be executed. Let's do it.
Before we get started on today's episode, I wanted to give a shout out to friend of the podcast, Taylor, who was on with me to cover Chamber of Secrets Chapter 12. We named that episode Draco Malfoy, the World's Largest Fart. Well, her podcast has gotten a little bit of a makeover, and I told her that I would love to share it with you. So please enjoy this 30-second promo.
Hey there, listeners. We're Sisters Assembled, a Marvel Theory podcast and your place for all things MCU.
Each week, we tackle a new topic relating to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including reactions to the Disney Plus shows and the movies, deep dives on characters and important concepts, news, and theories. You can find Sisters Assembled on your podcast platform of choice or check out our blog at sistersassembled.wordpress.com.
So come along for the ride, because Marvel just blew your mind, so let's talk about it.
The Belated Binge Podcast.
Welcome into Belated Binge Harry Potter, the re-binge podcast that doesn't take itself or the books too seriously. I'm Zach, your host, and in this episode, we're going to walk through 5 realistic spinoffs and how they can be launched from a backdoor pilot through the upcoming Harry Potter TV series. First of all, spoilers, obviously. And second of all, shout out to the bonus binge squad of Alex and Katie over on Patreon. Before we lay this thing out, what is a backdoor pilot? Put simply, from the dictionary of Belated Binge, aka the way Zach understands things, a backdoor pilot is when a TV series uses an episode of their main show to launch a new spinoff show. It's kind of like the new spinoff show takes over the main show for one episode, and that becomes the pilot for a whole new show over here, and then the two go back to working however they were supposed to work separately from each other. It's a really cool way to like use the main storyline to introduce like new characters and like a side story, and then it just kind of goes off from there running as its own new TV show. You have so many backdoor pilot like launch opportunities for the upcoming Harry Potter TV series, assuming that it is actually something people watch. But there are 5 that I not only think are cool and would be popular within the fandom, but are also realistic and feasible specifically as backdoor pilots. So we're going to map them out, what they are, how I think that you could launch them, where they would fit in. And for this, we are pretending that everyone involved is definitely going to be competent and people actually like the main show. So I'm going to try to lay them out completely in order of where they would fall within the main storyline. So for the sake of keeping this rooted in some semblance of potential reality, they're not launching a new spinoff right away. They're going to need to see success from the main show before they invest into new stories. So we're leaving the first 2 seasons alone. While I have plenty of ideas on how they could tell those stories, that's another episode. No backdoor pilots are coming in the first 2 seasons, so we're not going to come up with any either. I mean, to be honest, no spinoffs are happening, period, if people don't watch the show. And it's just my opinion that they'll give it a couple of seasons to figure out if a spinoff is even a viable option. And so that leaves us 5 seasons to play with. And I don't think there's a world where you're like launching 2 spinoffs from the same season. That just seems greedy and unrealistic to me. So that leaves us a maximum of 5 spinoffs, 1 backdoor pilot per season. And I want to make that emphasis. I'm talking about 5 spinoffs that you can actually conceivably launch as backdoor pilots specifically. There's plenty of Harry Potter spinoff content ideas that are out there in the world that could make cool TV shows, but not all of them make feasible backdoor pilot opportunities. And that's the part that I thought was particularly interesting for this exercise. And as I was thinking about how the Harry Potter TV series, going back to the main content, the main books, the main story, the main 7-year series that we all are familiar with after reading the books. And I know that's not the most popular thing in the fandom at all. And a lot of people wanted these other new stories instead. My thought was, well, going back to that, maybe showing some like value and rebuilding some semblance of, you know, trust and positivity within the fandom that exists, maybe even introduced to some new people for the fandom through and bringing the series visually to the screen with more detail than you can put in the movies was, and it made at least some sense to me in going that route. But I also thought it was a platform from which you could build in some really interesting and intriguing ways. I still think that you can do the TV series in really interesting ways, which I've talked about some on this podcast. I'll probably talk about it more at some point in time. But right now, for today, one of the very overly optimistic things that I'm thinking of from the potential series is backdoor pilots. So we start in season 3, Prisoner of Azkaban. And this one should be obvious. So many people in this fandom have been asking for this for like the entirety of the fandom's existence. And it's the Marauder story. And there's plenty of possibilities where you could put this within the main season. Like, where would you introduce a backdoor pilot for the Marauders? Like, you could do it at so many points in the story, but I think the one that has, you know, kind of the strongest possibility and makes the most sense in my mind is during the Shrieking Shack episode of season 3. You time it up so that the main story episode starts with Lupin like beginning to tell his werewolf story. And from there, it flashes into a flashback pilot episode centered around Lupin. And he can kind of narrate along his beginnings from being bitten by Greyback, becoming a loner, and the arrangement that Dumbledore made to allow him at Hogwarts, why the Whomping Willow even exists, you know, ringing a bell. And then the episode can kind of like culminate in a scene where he meets the other Marauders. Maybe Lupin walks through the train compartments and stops at the one where James, Sirius, Lily, and Snape are already, you know, congregated. And maybe he just kind of like, you know, not keeps going maybe and finds like a compartment that Peter's sitting in alone and joins Peter. And then you have the option to make Lupin kind of the lead for that series if you want and fill in the rest around him. That's a possibility. But I also, the idea that I like is I prefer that they follow that same general concept, but for the other friends and like lead characters of that Marauder story as well. So you could show how like each of them get to that train compartment as standalone episodes. Or as like double ups, you know what I mean? Like you can show how Snape gets to his seat in the compartment, how Lily gets to her seat in the compartment, James, Sirius, Peter. Again, if you want to bring Peter into this, like you could do kind of. I think you have two options. Each character could have their own standalone episode to kick off that Marauder story. And all of them end once they get to the, you know, the Hogwarts Express and that train compartment where we know that James, Sirius, Lily, and Snape kind of have their beginning. And you could just kind of like trickle in and show how maybe Lupin and Peter kind of meet, and that sort of launches your Marauders TV series, and your a few episodes in, but you've gotten to the point where everybody's together now. Or you can make them kind of like mini episodes where you do a couple characters per episode. And I think that would be kind of a cool way to tie alliances together as well. You could do like James and Sirius in their episode, showing how each of them are kind of getting ready, and almost stark contrast to each other, but also still similar. Like, they're both pure blood, right? But you have James, who's, you know, on this kind of end of the extremes, I guess, and full Gryffindor, and he's kind of the, you know, doted on. I think he was an only child, kind of spoiled, all of that stuff. And then on this side, you've got Sirius, who like despises his family, who's all about pure blood mania, and he wants nothing more than to buck the trend of being Slytherin and the way that they are. And you could kind of show those two how they're treated at home, how they're getting ready for the train, how they're, you know, how they get there and all of that. And then, you know, kind of bring them together, meeting up in that train compartment. And then Lily and Snape could have their, you know, piece of episodes together. I guess it just kind of depends on how in-depth you want those intros to be before you actually launch into like their Hogwarts adventures that they all have and where they're kind of all mixing together. You know, I guess you could even, if you wanted to, you could cram all that into one pilot episode. You know, it could start with Remus and then jump into like James and Sirius and then jump into like Lily and Snape. And if you want Peter's the one that's kind of the oddball to me. I don't think that's necessarily an accident. I think he's written as an oddball, obviously, becomes the rat and is a rat. But we don't get a lot about like him as a child in what we know about his backstory. So I guess it could be interesting to see him and maybe explain a little bit about how he could almost foreshadow how he could become a rat. Or you could just honestly introduce Peter kind of later. You can be part of this Marauders era and story without literally being like a main character introduced in episode one with backstory, right? Like he could come in episode two and still be a main part of the show. But since since we know more about Remus, about James, about Sirius, about Lily, about Snape as children prior to Hogwarts, like we at least are familiar with a little bit of where they come from, that you could turn that into a very interesting pilot episode while kind of pulling on strings of familiarity in doing so. And I think it could fit well. And then, you know, as that episode ends, you pick up the main storyline. There's unfortunately not, at least in book three that I could think of, there's not an episode where you could just flat out go full on Marauders flashback and come back and everything's like wrapped up perfectly in a bow for you to just like pick the main storyline up. This was as close as I could think of. Remus starts his storytelling about how he came to be at Hogwarts, and you jump into Marauders, and then next episode on the main feed, he's still telling his story, but it's a little bit more in like fast track, like it actually happens in the book. And you kind of get the high notes real quick so that the plot can pick back up with Snape coming in and all of that stuff. I thought that was cool. I thought that could make a cool backdoor pilot. And honestly, it might be the most thought out that I have on this list. But that is season three's backdoor pilot for the Marauders story. So what do you do in season four for Goblet of Fire? Well, what I was thinking here is this is where you kick off the Voldemort origin story. And that might sound a little bit strange from a timing perspective, but I guess hear me out, because I did have some multiple ideas, and like I said, this might seem like a little strange place to put it, ish, but I think you can do it as part of the graveyard episode when Voldemort is being put back together, Because I think it does a couple of things. It does give us a really cool villain birth story coming out of Voldemort's rebirth in the main series. So you could, and I guess the way that I'm envisioning it is you've got Peter Pettigrew. He comes out with kind of like weird baby Voldy in his arms. He kills Cedric. Ah, spoilers. Ah, I don't know why I wanted to do it twice, but then he ties up Harry, I guess you could say, magically binds Harry to, I think it's Tom Riddle Sr.'s headstone, right? I think as Peter's like holding him and then he drops him into the gigantic like goblet, if you will, or what do they call that thing? The cauldron, that's the word. Drops him into the cauldron, splashes in, and in the main storyline, this is where Peter would start doing the thing, and maybe you still have like a flash of that stuff happening, but I think it would be cool if like visually you're dropping Voldemort in his kind of baby form into this cauldron, into the potion or the liquid or whatever it is, and instead of him hitting the bottom of the cauldron, he keeps going. He just like is almost descending like through the earth, if you will. And you can have lots of, you know, frilly stuff happening around him while he's in this free fall. And he lands like in the orphanage, in like a little whatever kind of bassinet that they have. Or you could even, maybe you make it really dramatic, and you have him flop like into Merope's arms, and she says, you know, his name should be Tom, like his father, Marvolo Riddle, and she like gets a moment to like look at her son, and then she goes, maybe. I don't know, that could be kind of dramatic. Or you could just drop him into like a bassinet, not crying, stoic, because they said that was how he came out. Essentially, he didn't scream or anything. The nurses at the orphanage, or the whatever you would call them, would just kind of like, you just hear them in the background while the camera's focused on the baby who's just straight faced. You hear, you know, the mother didn't make it. She said that he, you know, to call him Tom Marvolo Riddle, you know, and that's your introduction to Tom. And then maybe it goes into some sort of like montage of him growing up doing things, like you see how he uses magic to manipulate the other kids in the orphanage, and you see sort of like the early stuff before you get to what we actually recognize of little, you know, tiny Tom Riddle. Or you could take that montage and just show flashes of the things we've actually heard about. Maybe you show flashes of, you know, the rabbit that he like hung from the ceiling, and some of the objects that he like stole from the kids, and instances of him making animals do what he wants without training them, talking to snakes, like learning he can talk to snakes, hurting the other kids, you know, after they try to bully him or something. And, you know, maybe some flashes of him taking those kids into the cave. I don't know. I know there's a lot of questions and speculation and some very insidious thoughts as to what happened in that cave. So I don't know how much that would want to be explored in any TV show anyways, even if it was the Voldemort origin story. I don't know if they'd want to go in some of the directions that some people have suggested that might have been a stand-in for. But either way, maybe you show some of that, or you could, like I said, you could show some just glimpses of things that we didn't hear about, and the show actually includes the stuff that we heard about from the rabbit and some of that stuff, and have the cave scene as a kid. I guess it's just how much of childhood Tom Riddle do you want to include prior to him meeting Dumbledore as a part of the Voldemort origin story? Like, my assumption is that you would want the bulk of that story to take place in our, like, in our periphery of familiarity, like in more the rise to power of Voldemort as opposed to just like the childhood life of Tom Riddle. Like, you don't want Harry Potter's story like through a Tom Riddle, right? Like, you don't want 11-year-old Tom Riddle all the way through Hogwarts. Like, that's probably not the show that you want. You probably want some of that, and maybe you put a little fast track on that, because I think you want student Tom Riddle in that show prominently. I just don't know how much you want before that. I think there's some opportunities there, but you could also speed it up in some cool ways. And I think introducing it that way, with the, you know, the dropping into the cauldron, I think that's a really cool visual way to get to essentially the birth of Voldemort. And then after that episode, that backdoor pilot is over, the next episode on the main feed is Peter Pettigrew doing the spell and the incantation and stuff like that, and it's Voldemort rising from the cauldron, getting his body back, and you see his eyes flicker red or whatever. Because I think you have to be more visually accurate with this TV series on Voldemort personally. Now, when I say that, I don't mean super cartoonish. I think that you can split the difference with something like Voldemort's eyes, for instance. Like, I think you can make him look very, very similar to the way that they did in the movies, because I thought a lot of that kind of worked. But the fact that they went with, like, essentially, like, blacking out his pupils and giving him, like, really dark eyes, I know they said they wanted him to look more human and not sound more or like look more cartoony, but I think you can split the difference, because I think you can, I'm guessing there's a contact out there that could do this, I would imagine. I think you could also do it digitally enhancing, but I think instead of giving him just full-on red eyes as he's described in the book, because I still think that's very cartoonish, I think what you could do is like put a red ring around his pupil. His eyes are still white like a normal person. His pupil is still black like a normal person. But where the rest of us, where I have like brown eyes and other people have blue eyes or whatever, that is like red. And I think that gives you, he has his red eyes, his villain red eyes from the book series, while still bringing some semblance of like, this isn't a cartoon, this is like real life stuff. And getting his voice closer to the way it's described in the book would be, I think would be good too. Just giving him a little bit more of like, more of a high, like a higher register, and kind of rasp to it. I think would probably be beneficial. But that's not the point of the backdoor pilot. But I think in doing this, because I think that there's another obvious point in which you could start a Tom Riddle Voldemort origin story. And that's what I kind of assumed too before I started doing this exercise. But here's the thing. I said we were going to do one spinoff per season of this TV show. And I think what you do by starting a Voldemort origin story back here in Goblet of Fire and using this birth rebirth idea is that it opens up crossover potential once we get to the memory scenes in season 6 for the main story. So instead of launching his story then, which is what I originally thought would be the way to go, I think that you could have those, if you can time it up right, and you've already had his origin story going on for, I guess it would be like 2 seasons at that point, you could catch it up to the memory scenes, or at least key memory scenes that happen in season 6 of the main Half-Blood Prince story, and you could make those crossover episodes. And that could be really cool. That's my thoughts. So that's season four, launching the Voldemort origin story. And I know I didn't disclaimer this at the beginning of this. Not all of these story ideas are exactly just creations from my head, right? Like, people have been talking about wanting a Marauder story forever. They've been talking about wanting a Voldemort origin story forever. These are not complete brand new ideas that I just woke up and thought, oh, what a great idea. I realized that what I'm trying to do is figure out how to best introduce these through backdoor pilots of this upcoming TV show. Now, with that being said, Order of the Phoenix, season 5. What would our backdoor pilot be for this one? This is where I think you introduce another fan favorite idea, the founder story. And I think you do it through the Sorting Hat episode. Again, I think there's a lot of potential places where you could drop a founder story. I think the Sorting Hat is when you do it, in my opinion. I guess if you went all the way back to like book one and McGonagall is explaining the houses to the first years, like you could squeeze it in there. Really, like, it's the founders of Hogwarts. You can pretty much find a way to introduce them to the story anytime you're at Hogwarts, right? But I think, and somebody may need to fact check me on this one. I should have fact checked myself. I didn't. But I'm pretty darn sure that Order of the Phoenix is the book where the Sorting Hat is particularly, I think it was the notable one where like Ron and Harry and Hermione, I think they all started talking about how cheerful or whatever the Sorting Hat song was. And I think that it was Order of the Phoenix where it really talked about the different houses and the different founders. And I think went into some of the like Slytherin breaking away from the other four kind of story. If I'm not mistaken, like I think that Order of the Phoenix is the one where the hat did that and showed how some of the houses have sort of been at odds since the founders' relationships went sideways. And I think that you could use potentially the Sorting Hat to kind of narrate throughout really that whole founder series if you wanted to, but at least that pilot episode, because I think that there's kind of pivotal points that the Sorting Hat talks about in the various Sorting Hat songs. And I think once you reach those points in the Founders TV series, you could have the Sorting Hat kind of narrate or like flash to it or something, just so we can see the significance of the moments that are happening in this TV show through like the main series that we're familiar with. I think that's kind of cool. And by then you've got scenes from the main TV show, you know, for the Harry Potter timeline that you might be able to pull, right? Visually, you could like pull it in to the the spinoff Founder series. You could just like kind of pull that scene that you've already shot and made, and you can kind of tie them together that way. I just think that sounds kind of cool. There's some cool like little, you know, crossover potential things in that way. But I think that you could go many ways, I guess, in introducing this as what I'm going to call, what I'm still going to refer think of this as a backdoor pilot, because I think there's a more traditional backdoor pilot that you could do, where you start the episode in the main show. And then when the Sorting Hat story starts, it goes like flashback into the pilot of the new Founders series. And then you pick up the main story in the next episode again with like the Sorting Hat, maybe synopsis ending or whatever, and events in the main storyline go on as they should. Another way that you could do it is you could do kind of like a double feature kind of thing in this way and still have like the backdoor pilot, but like maybe make it like a double episode or something. If you can time it so that the main show episode is gonna like is almost like something's happened in the main show and get it to kind of like end an episode almost at like an intermission and then pick up the founder pilot from there. And so you could, and I guess you could do that with all of these, but this one in particular just kind of hit me in my mind as like as you could do it as a full on backdoor pilot, or you could make it like a double episode and still have a backdoor pilot like in there, and they kind of connect them in the middle a little bit. Either way, I think it's kind of obvious what you do with a founder story, right? Like you go, well, I say it's kind of obvious. Maybe it's not that obvious, because how much of the founders' backgrounds do you want prior to them coming to Hogwarts? So like maybe that pilot has them, like maybe it drops you into them forming Hogwarts, and they're like making their agreement, the four of them, they're all on the same page, they're ready to go. Or, and this just hit me, maybe it's not that. Maybe you don't drop them in there when everything's harmonious. Like maybe what you do is you have the main story start to a point where the Sorting Hat tells its story and kind of gets to the point where it talks about how Slytherin and Gryffindor, I think the way that it described it was essentially Slytherin versus the other three founders, whatever, semantics at this point. Maybe you drop it in to where they have that agreement, and I'm imagining like it talked about like dueling in the halls and stuff like that. Like maybe you show there's dueling in the halls, the founders are like, they are in an argument, they're ready to go, and you get to the point where they draw their wands and they're actually about to curse, and then in that flashback essentially you flashback further and you pick one, I don't know, pick a founder, and you start telling their story a little bit, and that's part of like how the founders TV series goes. You almost start at almost like a main pivotal point that's like at kind of at the end of it, and it's almost one of those it's like a movie that does that opens on this action scene or whatever that's like really big in kind of a climactic moment of the movie, and it's like, hi, I'm Salazar Slytherin, I bet you're wondering how I got here. Well, it's a funny story, really. And it goes back to the beginning. Something like that, like that general concept, but maybe that, like, not that fluky. I think that could be a really, really cool way to essentially to do something kind of different with the founder story than these other ones, because we know, right? That's the thing about these side stories, is that we know where they end. We have essentially no idea how they get there. And so you could literally play off of that with this founder story, use the Sorting Hat to kind of narrate to that point, that climactic point, give it the flashback, build some real, real tension, get them to where it's getting ready to go down, and then flashback to the beginning. And you start telling the story of how each of the founders got to the point where they, you know, develop the skills and the abilities that they had. You kind of introduce them, who they are as people, bring them to whatever the decision was, like however they got to the decision or the opportunity to come together for this Hogwarts school that they wanted to do. I imagine they didn't just like fill out an application. You know, there's probably a cool story as to how these four even came together to make a school in the first place. And that's how you introduce it. I don't know. I think that's a really cool pilot like backdoor pilot, a cool side series spinoff, and a really cool way to introduce it in the main storyline, because then the next storyline or the next episode on the main storyline, Harry's story, just picks up after the Sorting Hat song. And you've got and everybody throws stuff at their TV. Ugh, I'm not looking forward to that part of the TV series. Not. Anyway, that leads us into season 6, Half-Blood Prince. And I think this one is very obvious. If we started the Voldemort origin story back in Goblet of Fire, what do you think we're going to do in Half-Blood Prince? This is the Snape story. And this is the one that I don't hear as much about in the fandom. I'm not saying that nobody wants this. I'm not saying that I came up with it all on my own. I'm not saying that this is like a, you know, some kind of whatever. Like, there are no original ideas left in this fandom. but I think that, I guess it's my, maybe I should start this with my hot take. I don't think that Severus Snape in the Harry Potter series is a very compelling character. I don't. He is a very polarizing character within the fandom, and I don't care. Like, I don't care about Severus Snape within the Harry Potter storyline. I don't. I think that he's a child bully and a horrible human being who happened to be important to the fall of another horrible human being, which I also think is for all the wrong reasons, personally. And I know that that's going to hit the Snape defenders on social media in a way that they're going to want to cancel me, if any of you even clicked this in the first place. But having said that, I think Severus Snape as a character concept is incredibly compelling. I think that a Snape double agent story is very compelling of a Harry Potter spinoff show. And I thought of putting this in. This one of the things that I was struggling with was, I think there's multiple opportunities for spinoffs and backdoor pilots in Half-Blood Prince. I think that's probably one of the reasons that I think that's the best book of the series, is there's so much there that takes you, that presents opportunity for other storylines that we only get some of in the main, you know, Harry Potter story. And I struggled once I gave myself the framework of one spinoff per season. And because honestly, with Goblet of Fire, I was thinking something a little more fluffy, like maybe a Quidditch through the Ages or something like that. Like, I didn't think of the Goblet of Fire at first as a super ripe spinoff opportunity. I thought of Half-Blood Prince as a very, very ripe spinoff opportunity. So I was like, what do I do with the Half-Blood Prince season? I have all these ideas. And I narrowed them down to two. And I originally thought, well, obviously the memory scenes should launch the Voldemort story, right? And then that means that this Snape double agent series that I had, you know, I had kind of given the nod to as my, as one of the spinoffs that I really thought could be cool to see, maybe I can work that into Goblet of Fire. Maybe have that launch when Dumbledore, like at the end of Goblet of Fire, when Dumbledore brings him and Sirius together and send Sirius to go round up the Order and send Snape to go undercover. Like, that could be your launching of that pilot. I thought that was a cool concept. But then I had this thought. I had two thoughts, really. One, the Half-Blood Prince is supposed to be the book about Snape, right? He is the Half-Blood Prince. So launching the Snape spinoff series from the Half-Blood Prince season made a ton of sense. And two, it didn't make sense to me to launch the Snape spinoff 2 seasons before you get to the Voldemort spinoff. Because in a lot of ways, the Snape spinoff is wholly part of that Voldemort spinoff story. And so you need to get to the point where Voldemort isn't a small child anymore and is doing, like, you need Voldemort to be at his, like, peak of power or whatever, or at least, like, have his following and be doing bad stuff for before you get to Snape going undercover as a double agent. And so I was like, flip them. Use the graveyard birth, rebirth scene. That's where that idea like powed into my head to launch Voldemort's story, and use the Half-Blood Prince, the Snape book, to launch the Snape story. And you can do it, I think, from Spinner's End. I think that could ultimately be like a crossover episode almost in that one. So I think, you know, chronologically it makes a lot more sense to have it go in this order. And like I said, you can have the Voldemort story already happening. You have the Marauder story already happening, and Snape's a big part of that. And then you have this Snape spinoff series. Like, there's a world where all of this kind of becomes like, I'm thinking like the Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, the Defenders, like that mini underworld kind of gritty, like Marvel world. That's, I mean, technically part of all the Marvel stuff, but they kind of work in their underground space, almost adjacent to it. And I'm kind of thinking that with this like Voldemort origin story, this Snape double agent story, like these, I'm thinking really gritty. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Marauders could get there, and maybe you do have the opportunity to get the Marauder story to line up here too, because that has to start when they're all kids. And there's a lot of leads in that story that you have to satisfy. Whereas in these other two, you've got Snape and you've got Voldemort. Like, those are your two leads of those shows. So I think that you could tell more of that story at a little bit of a quicker pace, to where they could catch up to each other, and the Snape that you have in the, you know, in both of those shows could be the Snape in both of those shows. Like, he could bounce from, that actor could bounce from series to series. And I think the same with like young Snape. When you show some of those scenes, you can use the young Snape from the Marauders, potentially older Snape that you can use from the main storyline, whoever that actor is. Like, I think all of this gets to be an intertwined world, even though they're all happening on, or at least a lot of it is happening on, different timelines. I think it's a really interesting concept, but I really think the two that you marry together the most are the Voldemort origin story. Get a couple of seasons of that into the Snape double agent story, and get those things to kind of like time out and line up to where you're introducing Snape on his own, double agent spinoff inside that Voldemort origin story. So I guess, but this series is all about Snape. And once that happens, the two are happening on parallel paths, and they can have a ton of crossover episodes together. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just thought that was a really cool idea. and concept. And I think that the Spinner's End episode is a really, really good point to introduce it, because you could get, like, you could have Bellatrix start questioning Snape. Well, why is Harry Potter still alive? Why this? Why, you know, whatever. And you can get him to start, but then get him to flash. You know what I mean? Like, flash into his double agent story, and you show him probably as a, maybe you show him at the moment where you know what? I might just have a pivot. Maybe it's not the Spinner's End episode where you do this crossover. I think it's not. I think, wow, and this is blowing my mind. Maybe I'll edit this, or maybe I'll just show you this in real time. Real time, quote unquote. Like, maybe I just let this flow naturally in the episode, because I think, rather than the Spinner's End episode of that, I think what you use is when Harry finds Trelawney getting thrown out of the Room of Requirement by Draco, and she's drunk as heck trying to hide her sherry bottles, and Harry is talking to her, and she spills to Harry that Snape was the one that overheard her prophecy with Dumbledore, and Snape was the one that ran to Voldemort. I think that is when you do it. And maybe you get him running to Dumbledore, and you get him like blowing up in Dumbledore's office and like screaming at him or whatever, and you use Dumbledore as the way to fill in, or as the way to introduce the backdoor pilot part, and switch into Snape's perspective from that night at the keyhole, listening in and overhearing part of the prophecy before Aberforth comes and finds him and throws him out of the bar, and the prophecy isn't finished yet, but you show him, oh my gosh, and he runs to Voldemort, tells Voldemort, and it's Voldemort who's caught up in his own timeline of his own spinoff series by this point, to being at the point where he has like his following, his power, he's essentially winning the war in a lot of ways. Snape runs in, tells him, and that kicks off the, that for Voldemort, it's the plan to kill the baby and figure out who this prophesized defeater of the Dark Lord is going to be. And for Snape, it's figuring out, oh my gosh, he thinks that it's Lily Potter's, and he's going to think of her as Lily Evans, let's be honest. Oh no, he thinks it's her son. And he runs to Dumbledore. So he's running to Dumbledore on his own timeline. Voldemort is putting the pieces in place to try to go kill the baby on his timeline. These are happening in parallel, but they're crossing over all over the place. And you're launching the Snape pilot from his telling Voldemort about it and then like running to go get Dumbledore. And that's where you're introducing him as double agent, and you show that interaction and the full interaction, not just what we already know happened, more of the dialogue, more that goes into it, more of the agreement that they made, more like in the book than the movie, obviously, but you show that whole interaction. That is how you launch the undercover double triple agent Snape story for a spinoff. And for the love of all things holy, show as little of him bullying children as humanly possible in that TV show, because please don't forget, we love an anti-hero. I'm a huge Sons of Anarchy fan. They are the bad guys that whole time, but we root for them the whole time. We could get behind Snape. Even those of us that don't like him, we could get behind a Snape double agent story and be on Snape's side and root for Snape as he is in these positions. And you could show him getting questioned by Voldemort and like all these moments where like he almost let it slip or like he almost got caught. And you could really make a really compelling TV show out of that, that we rooted for Snape. As long as you didn't show him bullying children as an adult. Finally, Deathly Hallows, Season 7, Backdoor Pilot. And this is the one, this is where I think you get your retribution for Fantastic Beasts. Because I think this is where you tell the Dumbledore story. And you do it from a life and lies of Albus Dumbledore. You essentially launch the Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore TV series from the Deathly Hallows season of the Harry Potter story. I think there's like four different points in the main story that you could do this. You could do it at the beginning when Harry's reading the Rita Skeeter article in the Daily Prophet that he gets. I think it's kind of weak, but you could do that. Then I thought you could do it when Hermione's reading it while they're like camping. It could be kind of cool to she picks up the book, starts reading, you know, from the first page, and then we flash to Dumbledore in that point and then tell his story. That could be pretty cool. Then I thought you could also introduce it at the wedding when Auntie Muriel is arguing with Elpheus Doge at the wedding before the Death Eaters, you know, storm the Bill and Fleur didn't get a honeymoon, did they? Alas, what are you gonna do? And I think all of those are fine. I think that is perfectly acceptable. I think you could make something really cool out of all of those, except for maybe the Rita Skeeter article. But I think it has the most impact being introduced when Dumbledore is talking to Harry from the Afterlife King's crossover station. This is when he essentially like pours his soul to Harry, or at least as close as we ever get to Dumbledore doing that. He talks about the Grindelwald relationship. He talks about the Elder Wand. He talks about the Deathly Hallows quest. He talks about their planning. He talks about his family. He talked about his mother. He talked about Ariana. He talked about his father. He talked about like all of it in that little like, you know, few pages long of a scene where he's praising Harry and he's talking about how much better of a person Harry is than himself. And Harry's asking him questions and Dumbledore's actually giving information and answers. And he's actually talking about himself. And I think that that could be the perfect launch point for the Albus Dumbledore story that encompasses all of those things. You have him, maybe the main episode or like the main feed episode ends with Voldemort hitting Harry with the killing curse and Harry not defending himself right there in the Forbidden Forest after he's used the Resurrection Stone to like call his family to support him. And the very next episode, he's waking up in like King's Cross Station and he sees Dumbledore, and Dumbledore just like, it gets to the point where very, very early in the episode, Dumbledore starts to go into his story about himself. And that's where it flashes to the Albus Dumbledore story. And it starts with him maybe you line it up so that it's Dumbledore talking about his father being taken to Azkaban for attacking the three like muggle boys or whatever who assaulted Ariana in some way. I mean, there's opinions in the fandom about what that assault actually was. Similar to the Tom Riddle in the cave thing, I don't know how dark you want this to go. But as dark as the TV show is going to take it, that's where you start it. And maybe you're showing Dumbledore as a child looking out like the window and seeing his father being taken to Azkaban, and you're hearing his mother and like Ariana in the background, and maybe Ariana is like just maybe she's even showing signs of her repressing her magic, and you almost hear his mother trying to tell her, "You've got to let it out, baby. You've got to let it out. Like you can't hold it back, baby." And like she's starting to have like maybe even like obscurus like flashes. I don't know if that canon wise like goes together. I don't know if it can happen that fast, I guess is what I'm saying. But kind of cool to tie it together in that way if it aligns at all. And it starts his story, right? And how he went to Hogwarts and he got all these awards and how smart he was. He met Elpheus Doge and like how his brilliance and the dragon blood. And then you get to, I think you go through that fairly quickly. Maybe show how he was the youngest seeker at Hogwarts, and how Harry was the youngest seeker at Hogwarts since him, kind of thing. Shout out to Super Carlin Brothers for planting that idea in my head way back when. But you kind of show that. But I think you could get through Hogwarts fairly quickly for Dumbledore, because the Dumbledore story is really what happens after Hogwarts. It's after his mother dies, and you can show that. It's him meeting Grindelwald. You can show that. You can show their whole interaction, their whole thing. You can show the death of Ariana. You can show the fight with Aberforth. You can show them grow apart. You can show everything leading up to the events of what Fantastic Beasts was trying to show us, and get it right this time in how Dumbledore actually defeated Grindelwald, what he did after with the Elder Wand, and beyond it, how he became the headmaster what it was like for Dumbledore as a professor when the Chamber of Secrets was opened by Tom Riddle. You could show him meeting Tom Riddle. You could show everything. Like, that is a limitless TV series all the way up to the night at Godric's Hollow, where Harry Potter's story starts, and that could be the culmination of the Dumbledore series. And heck, if you got greedy, you could even show the events of Harry Potter's like storyline from Dumbledore's perspective on his side in season 37, whatever. However you want to do that, the possibilities are endless, and I think that the introduction to that TV series is kind of perfect in him like really just like sobbing this essentially to Harry, just as Harry has done kind of the unthinkable in his timeline and his main story, and he's about to come back. You get Dumbledore's like story introduced, and then the main story in the very next episode is Harry and his conversation just picking up, but it stays within the King's crossover station, if you will. So many possibilities, but those are five what I think are realistic backdoor pilots for shows that I think could be really, really cool coming out of the upcoming Harry Potter TV series. Here's a few honorable mentions that I thought just sounded cool as spinoffs, but really didn't fit or seem all that likely as like a backdoor pilot, or didn't really fit in this like realistically one spinoff per season. And let's be honest, that's pretty greedy. Launching five spinoffs in the span of five seasons on the main TV show is greedy. but I think it's the most optimistically, while still being somewhat realistic in ways that they could do it specifically through backdoor pilots. So these other ideas are just kind of like not that. One, you can continue the Golden Trio post-battle. For season 8 and beyond, it's not a spinoff. It's just continuing the main storyline, and you can get them all the way up to the point where a Cursed Child starts, or you can blow right through it and act like Cursed Child never happened. I'm good with option number 2. Hagrid, you could do a show about Hagrid, which could be pretty cool, and you could, I mean, that could potentially launch from Chamber of Secrets if you go against the rule that I set up earlier, where I was like, No spinoffs in the first two seasons kind of thing. A Hagrid show could be kind of fun. Maybe center it around him getting expelled from Hogwarts, but getting able to, or being able to stay on, and how Dumbledore kind of mentored him and became kind of a father figure, gave him a place to live, work to do, that kind of thing. You could also do like an Azkaban prison show, kind of like an Orange is the New Black sort of thing. And maybe you center that around Sirius Black in Azkaban. Maybe you show Hagrid in his time there, like how they potentially interacted. Here's where that particular show might not work very well. We get the sense that like Azkaban isn't like a U.S. prison in the Muggle world, I guess, where they have like yard time and cellmates and stuff like that. You get the sense that they literally just like get put in a cell and locked away, and all happiness is just sucked from them by the Dementors and they die. That's the sense that you get. But if it's not like that and there's actually stuff that happens, it could be a fun little side story. You could even do a spinoff, what I can only name as a Law and Order show. That's not my idea. That came from Binge Mode when they did their Harry Potter podcast episodes. Wow, way back. I think they did that stuff in like 2018, maybe something like that. They covered the Harry Potter books, but when they called it Law and Order, I couldn't not call it that anymore. It just stuck in my head. I always thought it was an interesting idea to do like an horror show, essentially, like a cop drama set in the Harry Potter universe with horrors. And if you wanted to try to like tie it to the main series, you could do it out of like the Other Minister episode, or in Order of the Phoenix, you could introduce it with like Tonks and Kingsley, maybe show them and their work as horrors and how it ties to the main series, but also how they're just like doing their jobs. Is interesting. I think you could do that, that like Quidditch through the ages, or like a Quidditch centric show, maybe like a Ted Lasso kind of thing in the Harry Potter universe about Quidditch. And you could launch that, you could tie that to the Goblet of Fire World Cup stuff. Like I said, some of this stuff, I was really thinking of how to tie it into the main series and the main show for the most part. So I think that there's opportunities to do that. But then I was like, realistically, we're not getting like three spinoffs in one season. Like that's not going to be a thing. So I tried to narrow it down to my favorite five for the backdoor pilot episode. But those were just some other ideas that I had for spinoffs that I thought sounded kind of cool. But let's be real. None of this is going to happen. This TV series is going to flop like a fish on a dock. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But if it works, you want to be super optimistic and have a bunch of spinoff series that are introduced in backdoor pilots, those were my five. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like, subscribe, say something nice. Join Patreon for bonus episodes and some other cool stuff over there. There's a free Facebook group. Links to all the stuff is in the show notes. You can always find me as well at belatedbinge.com, social media, all that stuff. Thanks for listening. And for telling all your Potterhead friends to jump in on our belated binge of Harry Potter.